Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces in the heavenly places. Therefore, okay, I want to stop right there. Verse 13 starts, therefore, and he's going to go into now the armor of God. But whenever you read therefore, you have to know what it is therefore, which means you have to go backwards. There is a battle that is raging. And the reason we do the basics of the Christian faith, the reason we immerse ourselves into God's word as our daily bread and as our sword, the reasons we do some of these other basics that we're going to be talking about is because there is a spiritual battle. The spiritual battle that we are engaged in, and you feel the battle, I feel the battle at times, that's the reason we engage in the basics, is because there is a spiritual battle, and verses 10, 11, and 12 look into that and what that looks like. So let's keep going. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. The sum of God's word is truth. You see, we're fastening that belt on every time we dig into this thing. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, that's that living and active sword, that word of God, which is the word of God. Verse 18, here's where our focus is going to be this morning. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The basics because we're engaged in a battle. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we do thank you. We praise you and thank you this day for loving us. We thank you that you care deeply for us. We thank you, God, that you came down to save us. You came down to redeem us, God, to give us eternal life. And for that today, we are grateful and we are thankful. And that is the reason we gather. We are gathered, Jesus, in your name and your name only. And we pray, God, today that you, through your Holy Spirit, would be here amongst us. Lord, I pray that if there's any hardened hearts, for whatever reason, God, whatever reason, if there's any hardened hearts, that you'd soften those today. God, if there's any things that are consuming us to a point where we can't even look at you or think about you, God, that you would meet us right there. God, that you would help our minds to be able to focus in on your word today and on your truth and on your love, so that we can understand and get through our life, no matter what life may be facing, what we may be facing in our life today. So Holy Spirit of God, I would ask you to just be moving actively, and may we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, and may our hearts be receptive today, God. I'm going to ask that our hearts would be receptive to what you have for us, and we thank you again. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. The battle is the reason for the basics. We can't deny or ignore or pretend like the battle isn't there. We just can't do it. There is a battle that's raging. That is why we engage in these basics. The first one was the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's look at our second basic this morning, our second basic. Second basic, let's reread verse 18, because verse 18 talks all about our second basic. Ephesians 6, 18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. If the first basic was the word of God, the second basic is what? Say it louder. Prayer. Basic number two is prayer. Read your Bible and pray every day. Maybe you've heard that expression. Prayer is the second of the basics of God's word. Now, let's start this morning by answering a few very simple questions about prayer. I want to prep you on something. If you've been coming around for a while, or you've been walking with Jesus for a while, reading, a lot of this is not going to be new. Okay? A lot of this is not maybe going to be life altering in terms of its perspective. But and it wasn't for me as I studied it. But I want to encourage you with something. Some of this may be new. But I want to encourage you something. Sometimes, even though something isn't new, it's a good reminder. And sometimes we can engage in something maybe we've heard before, but God can speak to us in a new way. And so there may be a tendency to say, boy, I've heard a lot about prayer. I'm a prayer. It's what I do. It's my thing. I've heard it all. I've seen it all. I've read it all. I've said, well, let's just hope for a moment that God can give us something related to prayer for us this morning. Can we do that? Okay, so even though maybe we've heard this, maybe there's a new angle on this morning. Let's answer a few questions about prayer. First of all, what is prayer? Let's start with a very simple definition. What is prayer? Prayer is communication with God. Communication with God. Now, we communicate with a lot of people. What does our communication with God look like? Please hear this, because I think we think communication in one sense with God, but prayer and communication with God can be formal. I prayed just a few minutes ago. It was a little bit formal, but prayer can be very informal. Our communication with God doesn't have to look the same every time. Prayer can be in a group, or prayer can be alone. Prayer can be very quiet, or prayer can be loud. Prayer can be while taking a walk. One of my favorite places to pray on this entire planet is walking on the boardwalk. I love praying and walking. But prayer can also be very, very wonderfully effective on my knees. And sometimes I need to humble myself and be on my knees when I pray. You know, prayer can be with my eyes closed. And often I think we do pray with our eyes closed. But I also pray while I'm driving. And you're thankful that I don't close my eyes while I'm praying when I'm driving. We can pray with our eyes wide open. We can pray with our eyes closed. We can pray in the morning. Just this morning, I woke up a little early, which is pretty common for me on a Sunday morning, and I just laid in bed for a little bit, and I started communicating with God. I just started talking with him. And it became this conversation, and it became this time where God and I just had some fellowship time together before I actually got out of bed, but was just laying there communicating, and it was wonderful, and it was very, very valuable, and it was communication in the morning. A lot of us pray at night. We pray before we go to bed. God, watch over me, watch over my family, help me to sleep well, please bless this and do this and take care of this and do, and we pray before bed. Some people, and we can pray all day long, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. That's what prayer is. Prayer is very basically communication with God. It can take on a lot of different forms. Okay, what's the goal of prayer? This is one of my favorite things about the entire aspect of prayer. What is the ultimate goal of prayer? I believe it is communion with God. Communion with God is the ultimate goal in prayer. Now, this is not the communion that we may think of in church in terms of remembering Christ's sacrifice. We call that communion. Communion, we get our word community from that. It's a picture of fellowship. It's a picture of closeness. See, the goal of prayer is not just to speak everything that I want God to hear. We do that. The goal of prayer is to have a language that can actually enter me into a relationship of community and fellowship with a real person, with God. The goal of prayer is communion. This is one of my favorite things to think about. Prayer is sharing life with God. It's the sharing of all aspects of my life with him. So let me ask you this morning, if you had to make a list, what's your greatest struggle right now? You know, you can share that with God. What's your greatest blessing? What's the part of your future that you're really freaking out about? How are your finances doing overall? How's your job doing? How are your family, your in-laws, outlaws, all those? How's the relationships in that extended family? How are your neighbors? How's school going? How's the relationship with those? You know, prayer is about sharing life with God, sharing all aspects of life. It's about communion with God. I love that. Okay, let's answer another question. Who should we pray to? Generally speaking, and please hear the word generally. Generally speaking, our prayer should be directed to the Father. We should pray to God the Father. All scriptural examples of prayer are to the Father. Now, we pray New Testament prayers. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. I will conclude. In fact, if you hear me pray almost ever, I will almost always say, in Jesus' name. Amen. Why do we conclude our prayers to the Father? If you want to look this up, but Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20, talk about the fact that when Jesus died on the cross and his body was torn in two, at that very moment in the temple curtain was torn in two. And when the temple curtain was torn in two, that opened up access to the very Holy of Holies, which was God's presence. You may know that. We pray in Jesus' name because Jesus, through his sacrifice on the cross, opened up access to God the Father. So we couldn't have communion with God if it wasn't for Jesus. So we are coming to God on behalf of the one who opened up the way to God. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. How about the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit have any role in prayer? I want to give you another couple of verses quickly. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Please listen to the Holy Spirit's role in prayer. These verses aren't going to be up on the screen, but just listen. Romans 8, 26 and 27. This is the Holy Spirit's role, third member of the Trinity. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Did you hear that? It says, we don't always know what we should be praying for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Here's the picture. Sometimes I'm going to be praying, and I'm going to say, God, I would really, really like this. And you decide what this is in your life. I've prayed for cars. I've prayed for a new house. I've prayed for a lot of things that haven't happened. And I think what is going on is I'm praying for this stuff maybe. I've even prayed for people and I've prayed for, you know, we pray for a lot of things. But I've prayed for this thing and then the Holy Spirit, it says he intercedes for us. That means he prays for us. He goes to the Father for us. But it also says that we don't always know how we should pray. So sometimes we pray for something and the Holy Spirit kind of gets a little smile, I think, on his face. And then he goes up to the Father and he says, okay, God, here's the deal. Mark prayed for this, but you and I both know that's not going to be the best thing for him. We both know that, right, God? So let's not do that, but maybe let's do this over here instead. Because we're really looking more at the big picture and what would be good for Mark rather than maybe what he's asking for. Listen to how these verses conclude. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit of God is very intimately involved. All three members of the Trinity are intimately involved in our prayers, okay? Let me ask you this question. Should we ever pray to Jesus or the Holy Spirit? Should we ever pray to Christ? Should we ever pray to the Holy Spirit? The answer to that is yes. Yes, it's very appropriate to. God is one. The three are one. But there are times in my life when I pray to either one of those other two. I'm just going to give you a couple of brief examples. When do I pray to Jesus? When I think and I remember what Jesus said in the book of John, when he said, I no longer call you servants, for the servant does not know the will of his master, but I have called you, anybody remember? Friends. When I remember that Jesus now calls me a friend, I begin to communicate with him that way. And I say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for opening up this path. Thank you for calling me your friend. And I can actually have an informal communication with Christ in a very friendly, friend-like, relational way. I can have that. Sometimes when we do celebrate communion or when my mind goes back to the cross, and I think of what Jesus did for me, I get overwhelmed with Christ's sacrifice and I will begin to praise and worship Jesus simply because he died so that I won't have to. And so I communicate with Christ often. And if I'm communicating, that would be prayer. How about the Holy Spirit? When are times when, and do I ever pray to specifically the Holy Spirit of God? The answer to that in my life is yes. I'll give you a couple times when I pray to the Holy Spirit. If someone that I know is really hurting, if someone in my life is really going through a hard time, I will ask the very Holy Spirit of God to comfort them. I'll go to the Holy Spirit directly because his name is the Comforter. And so I will ask God's Spirit to comfort that person. There are times also in my life where I know I have maybe I have to have a conversation with someone that I'm not looking forward to, or maybe I need to feel like God is stirring me up to share my faith with this person, and I'm a little nervous, and I need some courage or some boldness. I go to the Holy Spirit directly and I say, Holy Spirit, will you fill me with boldness? And I go to him directly for that. I had a conversation this week with a very good friend, and it brought me back to a memory. And this isn't necessarily a positive memory, but in the neighborhood of about 2 years ago, I said some things, some words came out of my mouth that were wrong. And they were, it was a significant thing that I said, and it wasn't specifically directed at any one person, but I said something that was very wrong, and I realized very, very quickly that I had hurt the Holy Spirit of God by what I said. And I realized I specifically had hurt him, the Holy Spirit. And I've referenced this before, and maybe sometime I'll tell you more of the details. But when I realized that I had grieved the Holy Spirit of God, I hadn't lost my salvation, but I had grieved God's Holy Spirit to a point where I needed to go directly to him and tell him, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I said. What I said was against you, Holy Spirit, and I am sorry for that. And I pray that you will forgive me, and I pray. And as I began to pray these prayers, and I'll tell you, I was on the boardwalk while I was praying these prayers. As I began to pray these prayers of coming to grips and acknowledging what I did before the Holy Spirit of God, there was a burden that was lifted off my shoulders. There was a heaviness that was gone. There was a lightness that came in and a joy. And many times when we come clean, when we confess, there is a release. There is a freedom and there is a joy that comes in when we begin to confess. And for me, it was going right to the Holy Spirit. Now, generally speaking, our prayers should go to the Father, but it is very, very appropriate and good to also pray to Jesus and pray to the Holy Spirit. So what is prayer? Here's our wrap-up of this little introduction. What is prayer? Prayer is communication, and I hope you catch this, which leads to communion with God. Prayer is communication, but it doesn't end there, which leads to fellowship and intimacy and oneness and the sharing of life with God. All right, let's go back to Ephesians 6:18, because we're going to just take this verse and quickly just break this apart. Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit. I want you to notice the alls in this. The alls are very key in this verse. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Four alls. These are the four alls of prayer. And these four alls are really, they are the when, the what, the how, and the who of prayer. The four alls. Let's take the first all. First it says, praying at all times in the Spirit. This is the when. This is the when of prayer. Praying at all times, all times. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. This sounds kind of impossible, but listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Have you thought about that verse before? How do you do that? How do you pray without stopping? Prayer can't exclusively then be this. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this group of people. Bless them. Bless me. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer can't be just that, can it? Because I can't do that without ceasing, right? How do you pray without ceasing? This whole concept became different for me when I read a book. The book is called Practicing the Presence of God. There's actually in your sermon notes, there's a little link. If you want to read this book, you can read it online. It was written by a Carmelite monk named Brother Lawrence in the 1600s. And if a book lasts that many years, it's probably worth reading. A lot of the new books may not be worth reading, but this one is. Practicing the Presence of God. And he was a very simple man who took this verse seriously. And he said, how can I literally live my life in a state of prayer? And he said he started to think not in terms of prayer as something that I do, but prayer as someone who I am. How can I begin to integrate so that the spiritual side of life doesn't sit over here exclusively, and then the real side of life sit over here? How do I take those two things and marry them together so that my spiritual life and my real life are actually one? how do I begin to pray without ceasing? And he said, very simply, I just started to practice God's presence all day long. I just started to have little conversations with God all day. I just started to invite God into every area of my life. After I read this, I kind of thought, boy, God, what areas of my life do I specifically not invite you into? Are there any areas of my life where I kind of like to keep you separate from? And that's a good question for us. I know for me, one of the things I used to love to do is golf. And I don't golf anymore. But I used to love to golf, and I golfed a lot. And I said, you know what, God, I'm going to invite you into my hobby. And so I remember the first time I was actually going out to Nemadji, the first time that I invited God to golf with me. And I said, God, this seems a little bit weird, but I just want to invite you to be a part of this time right now. And so I invited him into that round of golf. And throughout the round, I would just say little prayers. I would just talk to him. And I know what some of you golfers are thinking. Did it improve your golf game? I know what you're thinking. No, it didn't improve my golf game. I did pray about some putts, but I didn't even make it. But I invited God into my hobby because I became convinced that I wanted to share all of my life with him. That I wanted to share all of my world with God. I wanted to pray without ceasing. And I think there is this opportunity to begin to marry together these two areas of our life that so often we keep separate. Which is, this is my spiritual side of life, and this is the other side of my life, which is maybe my entertainment or my work. I think we can begin to marry those two. God also said to me, why don't you try this? Why don't you start to pray in meetings that you're having? I have a lot of meetings. In fact, my life is filled with meetings. Anybody else can understand what I'm talking about? Yeah, filled with meetings. And so what I did was I began to pray a little bit before, a little bit after, but then this was the outstanding part for me. I started to pray during meetings. Not zoning out prayer, but I began to lift up little prayers to God. I've done that with some of you, and you didn't even know. I began to pray for the people that I was meeting with while I was meeting with them. And just throw up little prayers to God, little communication with God, while I was engaged in a conversation. And even men can do that kind of multitasking. All right, I know we're not good at that, but we can do that. We can begin to learn to practice this presence of God by praying without ceasing. Okay, it says all times, but then it also says very, very clearly in the Spirit. It says all times in the Spirit. I was thinking about this with this week. Why does praying without ceasing have to be in the Spirit? And I realized, you know what? There is no way I can engage with God at all times not in the Spirit. Because if I'm not in the Spirit, then I am living in the what? Flesh. And if I am living and walking and moving in the flesh, who am I thinking about? Me. The only way to live a life of integration of God in every aspect of our life is to pray at all times in the Spirit. We need God's Spirit to drive our prayer lives. Otherwise, our thoughts will always go back to me. My thoughts will always come back around. If I can bring this conversation back around to me, that'd be great. Our thoughts in our lives will always come back to there unless we're praying at all times in the Spirit. Listen to 1 Corinthians 14:15. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. See, we engage our mind in this as well. We are engaged in our mind and engaged in our spirit. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing praise with my mind also. All right, let's look at the second all. The first all is at all times in the Spirit. Let's look at all number two. Second all is this, with all prayer and supplication. All prayer and supplication. What I did for this is I made a list. I made a list of the six, not the six, but six of the basic types of prayers. Now, don't get too wrapped up in this. Don't make this a legalistic thing because your prayer life is going to look different than mine. My relationship with Jesus is going to look a little different than yours. But some of these things we have in common. And these six basic types of prayers, I put them in an order, and I think they're in the order of popularity. I think I'm going to start with the most popular types of prayers. This isn't biblical. This is Mark. This is what I think are the most popular to least popular types of prayers. All right, here's the six basic types of prayers. Number one, I think this is the most popular, a prayer of supplication. Prayer of requesting, asking, beseeching, or begging. We do that most often, don't we? When we go to God, we are going to Him asking for something. Asking, God, I would like this, I could use this, I kind of need this, would you do this, would you help me with this? That's wonderfully appropriate. It's a very good and biblical way to pray. It's one, okay? Number two, thanksgiving. Prayer of gratitude for what God has done for me. I kind of wish one and two were swapped a little more in my life. I remember one Thanksgiving, this is a few years back. It was actually Thanksgiving Day. And I said, God, today I would like to pray only prayers of thanksgiving. For this entire day, I don't want to supplicate at all. I just simply want to thank you. I just want to... That was hard. We are in the habit, and it's not a bad habit, of supplication. But wouldn't it be wonderful if our prayer lives could move more and more and more and more to giving God thanksgiving? We all have things we can be thankful for. Number three, third type of prayer is confession. This is prayer of acknowledging my sin. Now, this is sometimes, I gave a whole sermon on confession one time. This is not the type of confession where I go to someone else to have my sins forgiven. Okay, that's not biblical. The Bible says very clearly, I have direct access to God, and I have been forgiven in Christ. Amen? Okay, so this is not that type. But listen to this verse from James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other that you may be healed. Confess your sins one to another. When we get real and we get vulnerable and we get honest and we let people know that we don't have it all figured out and we do sin, there's something that is healing inside of us. There is a burden that is lifted. It's a release. I want to encourage you with something. If there's any sins in your life right now that are hidden, if there's anything going on that you're the only one that knows about this, and it's a hidden sin, and it's a secret sin, I want to encourage you to confess that to somebody. I want to encourage you to let that, whatever that sin is, let it out, let it into the open. We all have sins. The person that you're going to talk to is a sinner. If you come and talk to me, you're going to talk to a sinner. You're going to talk to someone who also is a sinful person. You may say, well, my sin is just too bad. I can't. No. No, don't go there. There's no sins that are too bad. If there is anything secret or hidden in your life that you're just holding on to, let me encourage you to confess it. Confess it. Let that go. Talk to someone about that because there is a healing and a release. Our enemy, we're engaged in a battle. We talked about that, right? Our enemy would want us to hold that, to keep that secret, and then we'd feel guilt and shame associated with it, but it might be an addiction, and so we can't stop. If there is something in your life that is a hidden or secret sin, please do number three. Confess that. There is power and healing in confession. Number four, prayer type number four, intercession. This is prayer on behalf of another. We do this oftentimes if we have someone in our life who is sick, someone in our life who's going through a really hard time, we pray to God for that person. It's called intercession. Number five is called meditation. This is prayer where we focus and keep our thoughts on God and His Word. Now, just to clarify, this is very different than Eastern meditation. Some of the meditation that you'll hear about from an Eastern philosophy is where you take and you empty your mind of everything. That's dangerous. Do not ever go into a situation where they are encouraging you to meditate by emptying. It's not biblical, and it's actually is a dangerous place to go. This is very different. This is a meditation that is focused. This is focused on God and focused on His Word. So this is not the emptying, this is the focusing. And you find that place of focus and meditation around God and His Word. I do this regularly with His Word as I am preparing messages because I want to hear from the Holy Spirit to say, what is the deep part of what He's getting at here? And so I have intense meditation on God and his word, and this is a wonderful way to pray, is to ask the very Holy Spirit of God to open up and reveal scripture to us. Number six, the last type of prayer, is the prayer of adoration. I don't know this, but I have to think this is one of God's favorites. I have to believe this is one of the Father's favorite ways that we pray. This is prayer as worshipful admiration of God for who he is. When is the last time that we have actually prayed to God because of and worshiped him simply because of who he is? Not even so much because of what he's done, but simply because he is God, and he is gracious, and he is merciful, and he doesn't treat us according to our sins deserve. And how often do we worship him because he's just and because he's holy and because he's the only thing in all creation that is worthy of our admiration? You know, that's prayer. That's the prayer of adoration. Those, by the way, are the what's of prayer. Let's look at number three, the third all. Third all is this. It says, keep alert with all perseverance. Keep alert with all perseverance. This is the how of prayer. That word perseverance, this has been one of my favorite words to study. This week, this verse really has resonated with me. Perseverance is this. Listen to this definition. Persistent earnestness and constantly diligent. Wow. Persistent earnestness and constantly diligent in prayer. This is a picture of staying awake. If you remember from last fall, stay awake. Be sleepless. Spiritual insomnia. Now, I know for a fact Pastor Tom woke some of us up last Sunday morning. I wasn't even here and I heard that. He woke us up. God's desire is that we would stay spiritually awake, that we wouldn't get drowsy, that we wouldn't fall asleep spiritually, our spirits would be fully engaged in this battle. Maybe this quote sounds familiar. We talked about this a fair bit. A passionate and committed prayer life is a sign and a method of staying spiritually awake. This is the how of prayer. How should we pray? We should pray wide awake. We should be praying people who pray spiritually awake. All right, let's look at the last one, number four. We're going to close with this. Final all is making supplication for all the saints. This is the who of prayer. Now, supplication, as we know, is specific prayer, but it's also asking or begging God, requesting for other people. This is intense intercession. This is praying for other people. So I asked myself the question this week, how is my prayer for all the saints? And I started thinking, that word all, that's like a big word. I started thinking, what saints do I pray well for? And I thought about four people in my life, four saints. One of them's a bigger saint, and then I got three little saints. And their last name is Pavela, and they live underneath my roof. And I pray well for those saints. And there's many of you that I pray for regularly, and I try to pray for all of you regularly. And there's certain saints that I do pray for better than others. And the Bible says making supplication for all the saints. You know, I pray for the saints that I love. I'm constantly diligent for those saints. And I'm persistent in my prayers for those that are really close to my heart and that have grabbed a place deep down in here. I pray well for those people. I really do. But how am I doing on praying? How do I do for those saints who just rub me the wrong way? You know, there are those saints around. They can be saints and still rub you wrong. How do I pray for them? Oh, God, deliver them from all evil. And the evil. How is my prayer life for all the saints? How am I doing lifting up, staying diligent for all the saints? And you may say, and that's a fair statement, Mark, that's impossible. There are millions of saints on this earth, and that's impossible to pray for all the saints. Maybe. We're actually going to give you a challenge. This whole series is on the basics with a twist. The basic this week is prayer. I think we all know and believe we should be people of prayer. Amen? And we can be people of prayer. And we should probably engage in prayer and make a goal of prayer as more of a regular part of our life. But the twist on this challenge is going to be something I'm going to share with you next week. And I believe the twist is going to allow us to be people who pray for all the saints. I think we're going to engage in something as a body that will allow us to pray for all, to pray for everybody. But I'm not going to give you that till next week. I want to leave you, though, with one prayer challenge, and we're going to close with this. I want to encourage you this week to ask God how he may want to grow or change your prayer life. Talk to the Lord, ask the Lord how he may want to move you in prayer. Now you may say, you know what, my prayer life is good, it's solid, I feel like I'm spiritually awake, and I'll say praise the Lord. I want to give you a little picture of something. The Bible says that the relationship between Jesus and the church is like a husband and a wife. He makes that analogy often in Scripture, that Jesus and the church is like a husband and a wife. Well, I was gone last weekend because we celebrated our 19-year anniversary, and you can congratulate my wife after the service if you want to. But the reality is, I remember the day we were married. We had a wedding here yesterday, and it was very sweet and cool, and I remember that day for me. And I remember when we first were married and we were first kind of doing the whole husband and wife thing, and I remember the way we communicated, and it was good, but it's not the same today. It's just not. The way we speak with and to each other and the way we communicate, both verbal and nonverbal, has changed. It's just different than it was 19 years ago. It's very different. And those of you who are married understand what I'm saying. Your relationship changes, and so your communication changes. And I would say that I think our prayer life with God should change over time. Now, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I think our relationship with him and our prayer life with him can and should change. It should deepen. It should grow. It should move. And so what I want to encourage you with is to just ask God, God, how would you like my prayer life to deepen? Maybe those six types of prayers, maybe one of those, maybe you never even thought about praying to God that way, or that maybe even never entered your mind, or maybe you've thought about it and done it in times past, but man, it's been a while since I've just adored God, where I've just took time to just worship him for who he is. Or maybe I haven't really meditated. My life's been so busy, and I haven't meditated on God, actually focused my thoughts and all of my energy in on God. Maybe I haven't done that for a while. What I want to encourage you with is to take time this week and just ask God, ask him, God, how would you like to change my prayer life? How would you like our relationship to grow? Where would you like that to go? I also want to encourage you to keep on reading. Keep going in your Bible reading and the Bible study. This first month is very, very key. You got to get those patterns, those habits established. You got to get that block of time and you got to just keep on going. Once you get the habit going, the battle's going to be in this first month, I think. So get that pattern, get that habit going, keep on reading the Word, and then ask the Lord how he may want to grow your prayer life. Praise team's going to come forward. We're actually going to take a couple of minutes, and we're just going to, maybe you want to take a moment and just say, God, I'd like to ask you that question. How would you like my prayer life to change? I want to let you know something. I thought of this idea of asking God about this week, and I wrote it down, and I put it as the PSA challenge, and I thought, man, this is going to be a great way to finish and a great way to close. And then this morning I realized I hadn't even done that. I never did what I was going to encourage other people to do. And so this morning I just asked the Lord that, and I said, God, how would you like our relationship to grow? And it was a pretty cool time of just having a little conversation with God about that very subject. And so what I want to do right now is just take a couple of minutes. The worship team's just going to play kind of quietly. And I would encourage you to just kind of close your eyes if you want to, or just take some time and just ask God, God, how's my prayer life? Is there any way that I could grow in my prayer life? Is there any aspect of prayer that maybe I'm just sort of not even engaging in? And we do it for the sake of communion with God. We do it for the sake of oneness, of fellowship with Him. So let's pray, and then we'll enter into a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your love for us. We thank You that Your heart was to dwell with us, to be in relationship with us. God, that You want to know us, and You do know us intimately and deeply, and You want us to know You that way as well. God, and so often our prayer lives are lacking, and if I'm honest with myself. But God, this is one of the primary ways that when my heart is engaged in communion with You, it is one of the most life-giving things on this planet. And so, Father, I pray now that we would each open up our hearts to say, maybe where can my prayer life grow? Or how can it grow? Or what area would You like to move me into? So bless this time, take this time. Holy Spirit, I would ask You to move in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.